This episode of the Hard Drive DL is brought to you by our friends at Napa Auto Parts. Conquer the job with Napa know-how.
You're listening to Hard Drive DL, available at harddriveradio.com or download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Hard Drive Radio. And in the studio right now, I am very excited to welcome Of Mice and Men. Gentlemen, thank you for coming.
Hey,
thank you.
Woo-hoo!
You guys are a great audience.
So you guys are on the road right now. Tell me a little bit about how it's going.
It's been awesome. It's been, I think we're, our second week in? Mm-hmm. And the shows have been great, and the fans have been great, and just rip-roaring some rock and roll through the U.S.
Always good to have you guys coming through New York. Do you have a favorite stop on this tour so far?
So far, probably New York. I don't know. Every city's kind of got its own little thing to offer, so hard to say.
You guys recently played the Louder Than Life Festival. How did that go?
Awesome. The performance was so much fun. And for us, festival shows are a really good time because everyone's kind of there as part of the music community and really getting to, you can kind of really engage the audience and everyone's there for the same reasons and rejoicing and, you know, the beautifulness that is music. So, and at the same time for rock and metal too, it gets pretty haywire out there. So it's pretty cool though, man. Like, we really enjoy that. And Louder Than Life was a Louder Than Life experience.
I always enjoy a festival experience because as I look out on the always massive crowds of these things, and I'm always thinking about the idiots who say rock is dead, and you're like, nope, it's not.
Man.
Nah,
you just stop caring. Those are the people that say it. It's the ones that don't even like rock. Because anybody that likes rock or metal will tell you that it's alive and well, and we're playing it at loud volumes. So,
I mean, that's what Of Mice and Men does very well. You guys are
really loud.
You're one of the loudest bands out there.
That's awesome, man.
Thank you for that.
Oh, of course.
How are you guys getting along without Austin?
Good. Yeah, I mean, things have been different, and it's a big change. And it's been some time now, though. We were actually just saying it's almost been exactly a year since he left the band. And so for us, you know, it's been a year of having to kind of find our footing again and needing to rely on each other, the four of us who at one point it was the five of us that had, you know, been working together to help each other through this life. And now with the four of us moving forward and creating music, and that was really where Of Mice and Men kind of shines, is when we start to write music and we start to kind of get into the vibe. That is really what helps us through everything. And I guess this last year has been having the four of us, you know, really come together and help each other out with change and life and everything. And through that, we've been able to create a pretty kick-ass new album. So we feel pretty good. And we used music, which is what Of Mice and Men has always done, is, you know, we've always tried to make music that was honest and that kind of helped us through what we were going through, to where that in turn will help maybe our audience know that we are just people just like everybody else. We go through the same feelings. Our life changes all the time, you know, like it's, you know, we're human, and the way we get through that is by making music.
And it's always good to be reminded, because I mean, as, you know, internationally touring rock stars at this point, people kind of maybe forget sometimes that you guys are people still,
yeah,
and you have
course.
Like feelings and motivations, and, you know, you're not just like this icon up on a stage for their entertainment.
Right, exactly. And for us, like, we never thought that there would be any sort of, like, I guess, quote unquote fame or whatever, as you referred to it, as rock star, because we don't look at ourselves like that, man. Like, we're not celebrities. We don't think of it that way. To us, we're just musicians that are privileged enough to be able to do this for a living, because we have an awesome fan base that connects with us. And all of our favorite bands did that through the years and through, you know, what led us to become musicians. And now the fact that we get to continue that is a truly awesome experience.
Aaron, was it a challenge for you to kind of step into that lead vocal role?
I think it was at first. The challenge, I think, for me was just finding comfortability in it. It was never really too challenging on the technical side, but I think just getting comfortable with that role and knowing that I have to also, aside from just performing the songs, I have to really engage the crowd. I think that probably took a little bit more time to learn and be comfortable with. But, you know, like, everybody has just stepped up to deliver the best shows that we can. So it never really felt like it was insurmountable or like too much of a challenge.
So as Tino mentioned, you guys have been recording a new album. Is that process still going on, or are you finished?
We just finished approving the last mixes last night. Yep. So
Pretty good feeling.
Bless you.
That email chain was getting insane.
Yeah, it now goes on to mastering, and we can move on
from that.
That's like one of the worst things. It's so fun to make a record, and it's just so hard to finish it, because I think as artists, we want to continuously work on it, and you get to a point where you can't really make it better. You're only going to make it different or worse. I can't remember who said it, but somebody said, like, no work of art is ever finished. It's just abandoned at some point. And I think we're ready to just, yeah. We're ready to give it to the world. And to stop tinkering with it.
Yep.
Since it's down to the four of you guys now, have any of the roles in writing the music shifted around a bit?
No, I mean it's really crazy. A lot of, I think the million-dollar question is, like, how is it different? I think that's what we've been asked the most, is how writing has changed, and it really hasn't changed, with the exception of before AC and I used to work on lyrics together, and now it's me and Tino, or it's me and Phil, or me and Alan, it's the symbiosis of the way that we've always done things hasn't changed at all. So sometimes it's hard to remember that it hasn't always been like this, because this year has just felt, like, I feel like the four of us have gotten closer as friends, as musicians, and I feel like the music's going to reflect that.
When you guys are writing, it's only been about a year since Cold World came out. Was it challenging to kind of go back into writing mode so quickly, or did you just have that many ideas piled up that you were ready to get back into it so fast?
I don't know. I don't feel like it was too challenging. I feel like, with Cold World, that album is very specific to where we were all at in our lives and where we were at musically, and where Austin was at with his health, and pardon me. And so for this record, we did two songs that we felt absolutely fired up about at the beginning of the year. We released those, and then we basically, rip-roared through festivals in the U.S. and Europe, and I think we spent 2 weeks after getting home from a full summer of just rock and metal festivals, and it's like, all right, let's go make an album. And that intensity of, like, creating music to be played live, with no disconnect from our audience. I feel like when we made Cold World, we made that after a long extended break of not touring, and it's really easy to get kind of myopic in your view of music, and you kind of forget that there is a whole live element to all of it. And with this record, like, that was at the forefront of our minds. Like, we made an album that we want to play live and that is for rockin' crowds.
Alan and Phil, is there anything that you tried differently with your guitars this time to try and maybe change it up a little bit?
Yeah, I played the whole record left-handed.
Yeah, I was blindfolded
the whole time. No, I'm just kidding.
And we just hit notes, and that's kind of what happened.
Just bang random things.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, and
no,
that's the magic that
different.
Happened.
We kind of have a system that works well with us, so me and Phil just kind of trade off and just roll through recording, and we just help each other, and if someone can play something better than the other, then they'll just record it, and we just sit in there together and get it all done. So it wasn't too much different for us. We're kind of in guitar world, and we kind of know how that goes.
As an aside, I did see some pictures of you guys in the studio that came out in Alternative Press. They did a great article on you guys, and there's this adorable little dog. Whose dog?
Yeah, that's
that?
My dog, Nugget. She's a French bulldog, and she's
very
3
popular.
Years old. And she's like my little sidekick, and she's either 90% of the time she's just sleeping on somebody, and then 10% of the time she's acting like a complete psycho gremlin. Like, she's hilarious. But she was at the studio with us. My bathroom was getting remodeled at my house, so there was like a ton of people walking in and out all day, and she just wouldn't like that, you know what I'm saying? So I brought her to the studio, and she hung out, and I think everyone fell in love with her a little bit.
Oh. Love Nugget.
Yeah.
Great dog.
It was awesome.
Great dog.
She got to come on the road with you guys?
The thing is when I go out on the road, there's a lot of stuff to worry about already, and having a dog on the road is just not something.
Yeah, first off, you have to find a bathroom for yourself, and then you have to find a bathroom for your dog.
She loves the house and the couch, so I got a good system that works out with my roommates who watch her when I'm on the road, so I don't take her.
All right, so when you guys were writing this album, did you work with a producer? Where did you record?
We worked with Howard Benson, and that was something that our label, Rise Records, had set up. And to us, it was kind of completely out of the realm of anything that we thought that we could do, you know? And so to get to work with that and to be in Southern California, like right next to Orange County in LA, like we've never really done that studio experience to be basically home making a record for X amount of weeks. So getting to work with him was awesome, and he was very much of the mindset. He really liked where, like, what we had been creating, and to him he felt very surprised, I guess, in a lot of the times at the ideas that we were coming up with and how exciting and kind of fresh they were for him. And he's been making rock and metal records for years. So for us, it was a very exciting process, like all together. Everyone was kind of always vibing. There was never like I can't think of like a single, probably a disagreement that happened. Like everyone was really kind of pushing for, let's make this even better. Like, oh, that's great. Like there was so much synergy in the studio that we were really able to dive down rabbit holes and actually, you know, come up with the pot of gold. And I just made that up, but really that's like how it felt. Like, you know, we're chasing down this hole and then we find something, whereas normally we'd get down there and be like, oh, well, we'll just go
time
back
to
up.
Turn around.
Yeah, time to turn around. There's nothing down here, you know. We actually found a lot of stuff and it was cool, and I think you can really hear that in the music, and he really helped kind of shape us. You know, like a bonsai tree trimmer or something like that. It was a really, really cool experience.
His studio is really nice too. It's the first record we did in California where, like, you know,
where there was windows in the studio too.
With
there
not
was
lots
windows
of,
with sunlight. In
yeah.
The
it's nice.
Yeah,
it's pretty.
And we could drive home if we wanted to. The last two records we did, you know, out in New Jersey, and we stayed at like a hotel and like.
That before, overlooked a cemetery.
Before that, it was Joey yeah. Sturgis, and that was out in Indiana. So this is like, it was definitely, for me at least, really cool to be able to, like, it was very low pressure going. It was like, oh, I wake up and I go to the studio and that's what my job is, and I could go home at the end of the night, or, you know what I'm yeah. saying? It was definitely very, very lax and very, like, I think that helped with the synergy of it.
Yeah. We were really able to, like I said, like, dive deep into the process and work with the team. Not only was it Howard Benson, but Mike Plotnikoff and Hatch over there too, man. Like the whole team that's at that studio is awesome, and for us to get to work with musicians and engineers and producers of that level is something that I really think pushed us to want to push our boundaries too.
One of the things I do like to ask about producers is, you know, in what ways do they push bands, if they push at all, and you know, you kind of answered my next question for that already, which is, you know, were there any conflicts? And you said no, which is surprising because
well,
there's usually
there
at least
was
one
some,
story.
I think Howard and Aaron really worked hard together on the vocals, and I think he might be able to talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah,
I sat in on a few sessions.
What's
and
really
it was awesome.
Crazy is, especially in vocals, that's where a lot of conflict can happen because I will hear something a certain way, or I will want to kind of sing it a certain way, and generally a producer will. You know, say, well, this is what they view as the best way of performing this part, and you can have a lot of conflict there. Howard literally said that he wanted me to be more me than I've ever been, and that was to me the most bizarrely inspiring thing that made me want to be better on my own. Like, I feel like I've written some of the best stuff vocally and lyrically because I didn't have somebody pushing or pulling me, but I had somebody just championing me. And that was, you know, and then in speaking with him and in reading about, you know, the way that he treats records, that's something that he values. He says that, when you come in, I want you to feel like a rock star. I want you to feel like somebody that's going to write a gold record, because that's how you write gold records. You know, it's not, you don't need to get beaten up every time. You know, you don't need to be broken down and built back up. You know, if you know what you're doing, because for each of us, this is at least our fourth or fifth full-length album, you know, aside from just the band, like, we're experienced with writing music, and so for him to kind of do that, and that, it's weird because the lack of conflict in the studio made everything so much better in our opinion.
I can imagine that, you know, a little conflict is probably good, but, you know,
oh,
after
absolutely.
A while it'll get kind of, you know, against the process itself.
Oh, 100%. After, you know, at some point, friction's good, but then you're going to start wearing down parts, and, you know, and that's just how it happens. But there was bizarrely no conflict or friction that I can think of.
Yeah, it was kind of weird.
Alan and I had a battle between ping pong. And that's about it.
Yeah, there was a ping pong table out in the courtyard area, and there was some friction on the table there.
That's about it. I won.
Yeah, I think Phil ended up winning.
Yeah, I won.
We were watching YouTube videos of like Olympians doing it. We weren't quite that good, but we were pretty dang good.
All right, so we're good. Note to anybody listening: do not challenge Phil to ping pong. No,
nope.
Lose. Unless you're an Olympian.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or then I'll throw the paddle at your head. Try to win.
There you go.
Way.
Playing dirty, still playing, right?
Yep. Still trying to win.
So does the album have a title, and when do we get to hear it?
Does it? I don't know.
I don't think we're going to divulge that yet. Yeah. And you'll get to hear some new material sooner than later. But we in Of Mice World like surprises, so we try not to spoil them.
Surprise.
But we got a lot of cool stuff coming, and we've been working on it for a long time, and everything's kind of, all of the odds and ends are kind of tying up right now, and it's an exciting time for us to, you know, be out here on the road, being able to do interviews and hang out with, you know, our friends and kind of like just talk about music and talk about what we've been up to, because this has been an important time for us and for us to kind of be here and to know what we've got and to know music and to be seeing our fans again and seeing what really excites them and what excites our audiences. It's going to be awesome. And something actually that I wanted to say was on Friday the 13th, we release a video, Unbreakable, that kind of talks about our story of that last summer of festivals that really inspired this album and what really made us remember. And just what Of Mice and Men is all about is everybody. It's not just us in the band. It's all of our fans. It's everybody that supports us, because music is that community and is that family for all of us. And we just, this summer, we were able to remember our purpose, really. And not that we ever really forgot it, but, you know, through time and change, things change. And, you know, we were able to really find ourselves, and you can find that at ofmiceandmenofficial.com.
Very nice plug. Let's get a little deeper into that. Whose idea was it? How long did it take to shoot? What shows were filmed?
Well, we went on tour with a videographer director who hadn't actually done much touring before. So it was kind of interesting to live with him. And like, awesome, because it's cool when you have, he's young, dude. He's like, he's not, was he 19 or 18? You know, he's very young. And so he's a young and a pretty dedicated filmmaker. And so for us, it was a cool process just to have somebody there documenting what was happening, because while we were out there, we were kind of seeing like, man, everyone's really loving the new music. Like this is becoming very empowering for us, and we're really capturing, you know, and meeting our fans and stuff like that at the signings. And it just, we had been away from it for such a long time and had such a huge, I guess, a huge change happen to us that we were kind of like face first with what Of Mice and Men has always been about, which is our fans and just the way that music can help people. And so for us, we were like, man, we need to kind of turn this into something a little bit bigger than just, hey, we just played a bunch of festival shows and here's how many 50,000 people are there. And like, there's a photo. And we were realizing like, we should make something to kind of let our audience and let people in on what it's like to be in Of Mice and Men and to go on tour with us. And, you know, there's tour bus footage, there's backstage footage, there's airline footage, you know, like it's what it's like to be on the road with us. And so it's kind of like, we thought it was pretty cool. And
I think though, I saw a social media post, that Ampersand members can already watch it. Is that true?
Yeah,
that's true.
So if you're not a member, maybe consider joining up and you get a preview.
Yeah,
definitely.
Early access.
Yeah, the Ampersands are our fan community that's on our website that kind of is the hub for all of our backstage and behind the scenes content. From anything, you get, we do giveaways every month. That allows you to be a VIP for
rehearsals.
Our shows, and you can live stream our rehearsals. And it's kind of like, it's kind of what we had always hoped the band would do, like, and kind of like I said before, we're not celebrities, we're not rock stars, like we're just musicians, and we're not afraid to like show people.
I am.
Alan is star.
For sure. Alan's a star.
He's a superstar.
But we're not afraid to show our fans what it is to be in of Mice and Men, because it is a collective with everybody, and so being able to give that stuff back to our fans is pretty cool. So if you're somebody that likes ultimate all access photo, video, blog, and fan communities, and early access to watching documentaries.
You get Tino's phone number too.
Yeah, my phone number's on there. Feel free to holler whenever.
Watch him put up his hawk.
Yeah, you could see. Oh, that'd be a good video. Yeah. A day of me, like GoPro footage of me making my mohawk. Yeah. That's a good one. All right.
I'm a fan. I watch it. Yeah. I watch it every day.
But yeah, MiceAndMenOfficial.com.
All right. So we've heard two new songs so far from you guys. And since we just talked about Unbreakable the film, tell me a little bit about Unbreakable the song. What went into making it? What parts were written first? Where your head was at when you were writing the lyrics?
That song started out instrumentally at first, and it was kind of just an amalgamation of what we felt like some of the more exciting elements of our music is. Like, that song was kind of one of the first new ones that we wrote, where we really kind of tried to make it elementally, and by that I mean, you know, what makes this song cool? Well, it's the tempo of it. Okay, well, let's use that tempo. Okay, what makes this song cool? Well, it's the use of the melody with the way the guitar works. Okay, well, let's do something that's like that but different. And we literally plucked from our favorite of my songs what we felt like elementally made those songs great, and we wrote a song about it. And then lyrically, that song is just a... It's a battle cry. It is literally like, I think it was a way for ourselves, you know, because a huge thing that we do that I think fans don't realize that musicians do is we try to use our music to inspire ourselves a lot of the time. And at the time that we, you know, at the time that I was working on the lyrics for Unbreakable, I certainly didn't feel unbreakable. I didn't feel as confident, but I knew that there was confidence in those lyrics and confidence in that song. And I feel like performing that song makes me feel unbreakable, much more so than I felt at the time of writing it. And I think that music does. Alan, turn your phone off.
Oh, sorry.
Idiot.
Classic, Alan.
That's strike one. Just kidding.
I'm in timeout. Yeah, I gotta go to the corner.
He was on a roll even too. Done. I was getting pumped, dude. Right. I was starting to feel unbreakable.
I even looked at Alan, and he looked interested for like 2 seconds, like looking at AP.
And then he was like, "Oh, gotta check Instagram."
And then the phone.
Sorry.
It's not unbreakable. That phone.
Oh. Well, it's the new one, so they claim it. The glass is unbreakable.
But anyways, Unbreakable. It's a song. Check it out.
The song is sick. Yeah, Alan, tell
me a little bit. Conversation over. Back to me.
Alan.
Yeah, Alan.
Yeah, Back to Me started when I was on Instagram, and I just thought of a song, and I wrote it.
I hate you.
That's a compelling story.
No, we wrote Back to Me with the bass player of 30 Seconds to Mars, Stevie, in a log cabin in L.A.
We literally just rented out an Airbnb, hit up Stevie, was like, hey, do you want to come like produce this demo for us? And then the five of us just sat in a log cabin and just jammed out a song literally in an afternoon. Like, that song came out of nowhere, and I feel like that's a lot of times some of the best stuff that we've ever done just is like boom. It's like you don't even labor over it just somehow seems to manifest. But it was pretty crazy because we were in the middle of Los Angeles in what looked like an 1800s log cabin, just some random Airbnb find
up in the Silver Lake Hills. It was pretty crazy.
Seems like that California air is good for you guys.
Yeah, a lot of this new music I really think is because we are in California. I love it.
Yeah, seriously. That was the sunlight, the trees.
The trees.
And it's something that we get excited about because that stuff really does inspire us. And it's part of why we love where we live so much in Southern California and why we talk about it all the time. And I just feel like, now on this record, we were really able to utilize that and kind of hear it in our music, which is a pretty cool feeling to know that a place can actually do that.
I want to talk a minute about social media because it's like feast or famine, man. I mean, how do you guys deal with your fans? Because a lot of the times they're all very, very supportive, but sometimes you have some really... let's say cranky.
Oh, there's crazy fans. People on
there. Yeah, like, so, I mean, do you guys pay attention much to that?
No.
No.
don't have time for
it. No,
we're grown-ups.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just words, too.
It's an app on your phone. Yeah. And that's what I think a lot of people... Sorry to...
It's all good. I would have socked anybody a dare if they come up to me and say that. I'm like, I'm an adult.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, these people, they don't... They feel like they exist, but they exist only on this app because they won't come and do that or say those kind of mean things in person because it's not... That's not... the right thing to do, and most people know that, and unfortunately there's this fallacy that this veil of like, and it's always been there, and I remember we've been talking about, like, not this, but like when we all grew up with the internet, so like they would talk about this in school and, you know, like online bullying and stuff like that, and it's a real thing, but for us it's kind of like you can't really let that dictate your life, because if you let those people dictate what you do, then you'll never be.
Yeah,
here.
Even if you look at like some of the most successful musicians, there's MFers on there talking smack. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter who you are. Like, someone's gonna be mad at you for some reason or something.
I did want to kind of ask if you guys have ever experienced that in real life, but it seems like, you know, Phil had already answered the question. Like, and then and Tino as well.
I haven't socked
so
yet.
Nobody,
so
nobody,
yeah.
like,
yeah,
you
know,
they,
yeah.
people
it
got,
hasn't
they got
happened.
Internet balls.
I
you know,
have,
like they'll talk
I
shit,
have
but.
Actually met. I can't remember. I mean, I'm not, obviously, even if I did remember, I wouldn't out him. But I did meet somebody several years ago that used to always talk shit on my social media. And then I finally met them. I was like, you're the person that always says, and I repeated it to them. And they were in a signing and they just turned white. I mean, this young lady looked like she was going to just drop. And that to me, I was just like, you know, and I literally shook her hand. I was like, you know, we're real people. Like, we see that kind of stuff. Like, you know, think about it. And I don't think I've ever received another comment. But I mean, just straight. Like, I can't even put into words how just like,
you saw that? And it's like, why would you even say things like that? Like, to do what?
But see, a lot of times they just want a reaction. And, and unfortunately, a lot of people who do take social media too seriously, that's all they respond to.
Mm-hmm.
Some, you know, some celebrities and musicians, unfortunately, only respond to their haters. Me, I only respond to the people that, like, say nice things. And because of that, people don't really, like, talk shit to me anymore because they know that either, A, I'm not going to see it or I'm just going to ignore it. And a lot of times I don't even see it, you know? And so, yeah, I mean, if you want people to talk to you, you know, just, like, talk about music or talk about something. But, I mean, it happens, but at the same time, you know, we're all almost, you know, we're all approaching our 30s or in our 30s, so there's no, just no time for that.
No time.
No time for that. No,
a lot
no time
of it,
for that to
a lot of it is just
no
musical taste stuff, like, oh, you guys used to be so heavy, or it's all just taste stuff. Rarely ever is somebody ever, like, actually mean about something that, like, you know, is very personal, you know what I'm saying, like.
Yeah, no one's really hit us.
It's always just about
me.
It's always like, oh, you guys should do this or you guys should do that. It's like, don't tell us what to do.
Yeah.
It's always how it is. You know, I had the guys in Trivium here 2 weeks ago, and the same thing. Like, everyone always comments on their stuff. Oh, you know, you should go back to Ascendancy. You should go back to Shogun. Like, everybody wants to remake the first album over and over
again.
Dude,
I love Ascendancy. I was literally just, is that the one that has a gunshot to the head of Trepidation on it?
Yes.
That I love that. I was literally just playing that record in the back lounge yesterday. I love that record.
It's like fans think that when a band puts out a new album, like, the old one disappears or something. Like, either they need to update their, like, Spotify app or something, but literally all my favorite bands, when they put out new albums, all the old albums are still there. And if I don't like the new one as much as the old one, I can listen to the old one. Like, it's kind of bizarre. It's like if a restaurant puts out a new menu item, it's not like all of a sudden all the old menu items are gone. You suck now.
Yeah,
it's like, I mean, just if you don't enjoy it, then listen to what you enjoy. It's still the same band. We still play those songs, like,
yeah,
you know, any band does. But
thankfully, with these last two songs too, we saw a unanimously good response from our fans and commenters and anybody alike. You know, and for us, that was really cool to, like, get that sure footing moving forward, because for us, we just wanted Unbreakable and Back to Me to be demonstrations of what to expect of Mice and Men to sound like when you come see the four of us live over the summer. And and then we ended up making the video for Back to Me, which was footage from those summer festivals. And and thankfully our fans have been responding in a unanimously positive way, which is awesome, you know. And for us, that means that to us, we're speaking the same language musically, and that we're all on the same page together, and that you can expect that from a Mice and Men.
I mean, I think the new songs are pretty damn heavy, so
thank
I'm
you.
Hoping it's a good tone for the album, because I like you guys when you're
way
heavy.
Heavier songs yeah. than those two on there, too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. which we're diving into what makes of Mice and Men, and if you're an Of Mice and Men fan, this album is going to be chock full of your favorite types of stuff, because we really looked into, like I said, what makes Of Mice and Men us. And a lot of it is with the sound, and it is with the excitement and the music, and a lot of just everything. And so that's, if you like Unbreakable and Back to Me, get ready, because you're about to get barraged.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys are choice. Rolling Thank around you. Right now. What is in store for the rest of the year?
Touring, baby.
Yep.
On we don't road. Get home until December 23rd.
Yeah, so Merry hopefully Christmas. We make it home for Christmas. No delays, knock on wood. Yeah, touring right now with In This Moment and Avatar, and that goes until basically the end of November, so we're out for a minute. And then we go over to the UK and Europe, and we demolish arenas all winter long with Five Finger Death Punch and In Flames.
One of my favorite
We're
bands.
Really stoked like for that.
In Flames.
I love those guys. Yeah. I've been listening to In Flames
for a video
for sure.
Sure.
Very, it's very vintage. So
sick. Sick.
And, all right. And that takes us through the end of the year.
Beautiful. Well, guys, I got to say, it's been great to have you in here. I can't wait to hear the new album. And so maybe, you know, send something my way. If you
hey,
can.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah, thanks for having
yeah.
us.
Yeah,
man.
Thank you.
Yeah,
so
we
fun.
Love this. If you want to make this a weekly thing, like, we can work on our radio voices.
Yeah, just fly us out to New York City every weekend. We'll come back and do this. It'll be awesome.
I will find that in the budget somewhere. Gentlemen, thank you very, very much.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you so much.
More episodes of Hard Drive DL at harddriveradio.com. Download the Hard Drive Radio mobile app and keep listening.